3 down through verse 11. And ask the Lord to bless it. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, with myself, Peter says, and others, through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to or by glory and virtue, and whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, or that is idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, or laggeth behind in these things, is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless His Word. Our God and our Father, we thank You once again for the privilege of being here. Thank You that You have seated us, blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated us clothed and in our right mind. Surely many, if not most, in here have obtained this like precious faith. Gift of God. How we thank You, Lord. By Your grace we are what we are, have what we have, know what we know. Grace and peace truly has been multiplied unto us through the knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. By His knowledge, Your righteous servant has justified us. And we're justified by faith in Him. Thank You, Lord, for revealing Christ to us and in us. But we're not satisfied with what we know in part. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. We need knowledge, virtue, patience, all these things, Lord. We need Your help. Through this study of Your Word tonight, Lord, grant these things. At least grant a desire toward these things, a will and a desire. Make us willing by Your power. Lord, we pray for these that we've mentioned and many others whom we have not mentioned. We ask Your healing hand upon them. We first ask for Your will to be done. We ask for a patient submission to Your will in all things. A thankfulness even. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. In all things, may we rest and be assured of the fact that all things work together for good, for our good, according to Your unchangeable, all-wise purpose. Let us rest right there, especially those who are undergoing these trials. Give them, and we know You will, give them peace which passeth understanding, which the world knows nothing of. Peace multiplied. Grace for the trial. And now we ask again that You would open this Word to our understanding, and more importantly, that You would apply it. Plant it. Cause it to bring forth fruit, fruitfulness, that we be not barren, but rather bear fruit for Your glory. This is why You have saved us, created in Christ Jesus unto good work, for Your glory. We do want to glorify You. We present our bodies, we pray, as living sacrifices, our reasonable service. Speak to us, speak to all those who gather tonight under the sound of Your word. Speak, Lord, for Your servants here wait a word from You. In Christ's name, for His glory and honor, we ask, give thanks, ask forgiveness of our sin. Amen. All right, let's read verses 3 and 4 again. This is, you probably already recognize, the passage that we looked at Sunday morning. This is a continuation of that. Verses 3 and 4 say, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I know you'll be interested in these things because I am. These things really caught my attention. Obviously, I couldn't get away from them. Here we are again. But life. I want eternal life, don't you? I want to win Christ and be found in Him, don't you? Godliness, what that means. Escape corruption. I want to escape corruption. Principally, me. Don't you? These things ought to interest you. Now notice with me, this is important. Notice here how these things are really in past tense. Look at it. Verse 1 says, to them that have obtained, like precious faith. Have obtained. Verse 3 says, His eternal, according to His power, has given us, hath given unto us all things. And hath called us. Verse 4 said, they're given unto us exceeding great and precious promise, having escaped. You see that? Those in Christ by faith are new creatures. They are. They are new creatures. Now, the fact that you struggle with sin. Means that there's a new creature, another law in your members. You understand that? Romans 7 applies to those who have a new man and an old man warring with one another. Before, there was no war, right? Is that right? So know that. Before. Like Paul and Peter both talk about, they used to be dead in sin. Children of wrath, even as others. Children of disobedience. Not caring, not seeking, not wanting, not thinking. No conscience. Right? So if you do struggle with these things, take heart that perhaps God has given you a new heart to love righteousness and to hate sin. It wasn't that way before, was it? That gives me some hope. All right? And since then, since we are new, or believers are new creatures in Christ, God deals with us as sons, responsible children, just like you deal with your children. We instruct, we admonish, we correct and exhort our children, don't we? They're alive. They should listen to us. They should obey us. They should heed what we say. They're responsible to do so, right? As long as they are under our roof, under our care, they will be instructed, admonished, and rebuked, and corrected, and exhorted, and so forth by us, right? And expected to do what we say. Well, as long as we're under God's roof, so it will be. So God deals with us, all right? Do you believe that God rewards and commends good behavior? Do you reward and commend your children? And we're not talking about salvation here. We've already talked about them that have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness. This is dealing with people who were dead and have been brought back to life, saved by God's grace, period. Saved by the righteousness and blood of Christ, period. Exclamation point. Okay? Alive now to God, and therefore responsible children. That makes sense? Sure it does. All right? And He does. He rewards and commends obedient behavior. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, here's another evidence of life, is you don't ever, after we've done all that's required of us, we still say, unprofitable, sinful. Nevertheless, God is not unfaithful to forget, He says, your works of faith and labor of love. Right? God chastens. God rebukes disobedient behavior. Yes, He does. All right? He says we've been called, verse 3, called to glory and virtue. The word is both by virtue, glory and virtue, and to glory and virtue. Both words apply. We've been called by God's or Christ's glorious work, by Him glorifying God for us, right? By virtue of His blood and righteousness, we've been made sons, right? By His glory, His virtue. We've been called to it, too, right? We've been called to glorify God. We've been called to virtue. Whereas before we were absolutely worthless to God, ourselves, or anybody. But not now. Now we're called the salt of the earth. Right? called to glorify our Father and to be virtuous. All right? Now, verse 4 said, "But given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature." It's just given to us. This divine nature is given unto us all by a promise. This is the power. This is His divine power. The word of His power. And all it is promises. He says, you believe, and it's yours. But He gives this gift of faith, we believe, and old things pass away, all things come back. A new creature. And we may make partakers of the divine nature by faith. It's a mystery, really. It's really a mystery. He says, come. And though we don't know what that means, we come. And He said, I'll give you rest. And we find rest. He says, believe. We say, well, I believe. Help my unbelief. He said, you have eternal life, never perish. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, these are promises. Sin shall not have dominion over you. He says, I'm a very present help in time of trouble. He says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. I'll never leave you, He said. These are precious promises of escape. To escape corruption. Now, the fact is, we have escaped. We'll never see corruption. Didn't Christ say, who cannot lie, He said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Huh, Mary? Martha? You believe this? He that believeth me shall never, won't even taste death. Won't see corruption. Mm-mm. No, sir. And someday, actually, so we have escaped the corruption, or that is, that final condemnation. And someday we'll put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. But until then, we live by faith on the promises, standing on the promises. Christ my Lord. And we have trials and temptations to face and a world to overcome. A world to deal with. And either be overcome by it or overcome it. How? Huh? How do we deal with these things? How do we deal with trials? How do we deal with temptation? How do we overcome a world which seems much stronger than us? How? Somebody like? Good. Faith. Come right back where we started. By faith. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. But now, well, you like this verse, John. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All right, Scripture says, running the race, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Got a race to run. All right? Now, look at this. Verse 5. So this faith, you know, without faith is where you begin. Where you begin. It's where you end. And Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Alright? We look to Christ before we begin the walk or the race or the fight. We look to Christ during, and in the end, we're going to look to Him in the end to keep us. The just shall live by faith. Totally, completely by faith. And you understand what faith is? It's depending on Christ. That's what it is. It's looking to Christ. It's not leaning on the arm of the flesh. It's looking to Christ. All right? Now, he says in verse 5, all right, beside this now, give all diligence. Look at verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he goes on to name several things. All right? We all know what giving diligence means, don't we? I really don't have to describe this. Diligence means effort, doesn't it? You know, when God, I thought about this. When God saves us, He doesn't just save us in theory. Right? But in actuality, He doesn't just save us in the mind. He saves us mind, body, and soul, spirit. A whole being. Right? The whole person, the whole being is involved in this thing of salvation. Paul said, let this mind be in you. And then in another place he said, let's present our bodies as living sacrifices. Right? This body is me. But yet, it's all me. That's the reason God's going to raise this vile body and fashion it like unto His glory. Glorious body. But it's still part of me. Isn't it? Sure it is. All right? And we're going to glorify God in mind and body and soul and spirit. God saves the whole person. All right? He says, give all diligence in all things. Walking. The article in the bulletin Sunday. Walking means you're going in a direction, right? It requires a little bit of effort. Walking requires some effort. Sure does. Especially to this lazy, no good, worthless generation. Who was I talking to the other day? Who was I talking to? You, wasn't it? Yeah, you were talking about somebody walk up a flight of stairs and just be totally out of breath. This is the couch potato generation. Well, walking requires some effort. And walking implies you're making some progress. We walk by faith. Remember? Well, it's going to be in this week's bulletin. Enoch walked with God. And it says when it came time for him to be translated, go up and be with God, he really wasn't much change involved because he was headed in that direction anyway. That's the direction he was headed. And I asked the question, what would you do differently if you knew Christ was coming tomorrow? Well, I hope nothing. If we're walking by faith. If we're looking unto Christ, we're just going to be looking and there He is. If we're waiting, we're going to expect Him. Right? Running now. Running. Let us run the races. But that requires a whole lot more effort. Running. Warring. What about warring? No man that warreth. The Scriptures talks a lot about warring. We're in a war. Did you see any battle? Did you see any battle, hand in combat, actual combat, when you were in... Well... Were you in the service? Nobody in here warred? Well, have you ever wrestled with anybody? Let's put it that way. Surely everybody in here has wrestled with somebody. I was telling Andrew one day about the most taxing, tiring thing known to man is wrestling. We used to have to wrestle on the high school football team. And I was the smallest back then, too. I had to wrestle with some big fella, and even my hair hurt after it was over. I'm serious. You remember? It's hard to remember, isn't it? Seriously, you waller all over it. Every muscle in your body hurts, and you just hurt all over. Wrestling requires some effort, doesn't it? A great deal of effort. Jacob said, I will not let you go. He wrestled with a man until the break of day. And there wrestled a man. The man wrestled with him, he wrestled with him. He was apprehended, and he laid hold on his hand. Give diligence. We're not going back into the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force, Scripture said. Well, if I'm going to be saved, no, you're not. This is the context when our Lord said, and the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Was right after that importunate widow. The widow who said, who would not let that judge go until he blessed her. And he said, she's going to keep troubling me. I'm going to give her what she wants. That's when Christ said, when the Son of Man comes, will He find anybody seeking Him? Will He find anybody wrestling? There'll be very few in this generation. Rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But He says to us, give diligence. There's still a war to fight. What's that song we sing that says, talks about, shall we sail to heaven on flowery beds of ease while others sailed in bloody seas? Peter, who said this, was crucified. Killed. Paul, who kept saying this, had his head cut off. Well, he says, give diligence. Give diligence, all right? He says, now, so we're going to require some effort, doesn't it? Now, remember now, where do you start? Did we in our own strength confide our striving would be losing? We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? He said, I'm a very present help in time of trouble. Or when's that? Just the moment I wake up. I need Thee every hour. Temptations lose their power when Thou art mine. I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. I'm a very present help. You have not because you ask not. All right. He said, all right, give diligence. Give diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Or that is, in addition to faith, or building upon faith. Virtue. Now, what's that mean? Virtue. Virtue means this. Valor. V-A-L-O-R. Valor. That means, another word for it, you understand, is manliness. Paul said, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. James said, resist, didn't he? Paul said in another place, quit yourselves like men. Doesn't mean quit. Quit yourselves. That's an old term meaning act like men. Quit yourselves like men. Now listen, I need this. This thing starts right here. I need this worse than anybody in here. Valor, virtue. Now, Paul says in children, or in malice, be like children. Have a meek and childlike attitude. But in understanding, amen. Encourage. Act like men. Quit like men. Quit yourselves like men. Act like women. Grown women. Don't. When Paul kept telling us, put off the old man, put on the new. What he's saying there is, quit acting like a baby. That's what he means by that. Quit acting like an old man. This is what Peter said when he says, those that lack these things, they've forgotten, they've purged from that. Why act like that? Quit acting like that old man. My father used to tell me that. Grow up. Your father ever tell you that? Grow up. Well, you can't make yourself grow. What he meant by that is act more like a man. Quit crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. You heard that? We don't have anything to cry about, do we? Very few, anyway. Quit yourselves like men. Quit yourselves like women. And this means don't lay down without a struggle. Don't lay down without a struggle. The Scriptures use terms like this. Resist. He promised them. He said, it's yours. Okay? He said, go in and take it. I'm with you. And nothing can stand before you. Go in and take it. It's yours. A land that floweth with milk and honey. Well, you remember they sent in spies, Joshua and Caleb were part of them? And they came back, and most of the spies said, there's giants. I mean, they're 12 feet tall and they just kill us. They're going to kill us all. Right? Oh, woe is me. And they all started going, let's go back, let's quit. And Joshua and Caleb, I don't know how big they were, but they just average men. Joshua and Caleb said, what's wrong with y'all? Let's go. Hath not God said that it's ours? Let's go. You see what he's saying? It's the same thing. By promises. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue. Paul said to young Titus, he said, you tell the people, you reprove, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise your youth. He said, you tell aged men to be sober. Be chaste, be temperate, and so forth. Hey, you tell the old men, act like old men are getting ready to meet the Lord. He said, you tell the old women the same thing. Don't act like silly women or young girls. Act sober, righteous. Then that behavior is becoming holiness. That's what virtue means. What virtue means. I need this. So much more as we see the day approaching. All right, now he says, look at this. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge means awareness. Perception, understanding, facts accumulated, discernment. That's what knowledge means. And he tells us, add to your faith virtue, manliness, and to manliness or valor, knowledge. We're going to face, just tomorrow morning, we're going to face situations. We're going to face people. We're going to face the world. We're going to face trial. We're going to face temptation. We're going to face the adversary. We're going to need some knowledge. If we're just naive and gullible and ignorant of Satan's devices, we need knowledge. Listen, and this knowledge comes from one source. You know where this knowledge, this wisdom, James said it. His wisdom comes from above. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth liberally. He delights. You recall a man asking, when the Lord said He'd give a man anything he asked for? Solomon? Remember what he asked for? Let me get wisdom. Give me wisdom. Now, remember, knowledge is the horse, wisdom is the rider. Knowledge is what you know, wisdom is what you do with it. And we're going to see that, a progression there. But knowledge starts with knowledge, and it all comes from right here. We're ignoramuses. Apart from this world lies in ignorance. Why, Sam? They don't know God's Word. Well, we're not in darkness even as others. We're not in ignorance. We're not naive and gullible. We're girt with truth. All right? And the Proverbs, listen, says this. These things are given, the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple. You feel like you're simple-minded? Well, this will give you subtlety. You'd be as wise as serpents, harmless as dove. How? One way. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding will attain under wise counsel. The whole chapter of Psalm 119 deals with this. David said, hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Not taking heed to this. There's only one way. God's word. Commandments of the Lord are pure, clean, or God's Word. Other than that, apart from seeking God's will, God's Word, we're going to enter into things just gullible, naive, and it's going to just overcome us. We won't know what to do or say or act. So if we have not, if we seek not, right? Virtue, knowledge. All right. He says, add to that. Stay with me now. You're not wrestling right now with your flesh and blood. Honestly. You're not wrestling with fleshly tiredness, with principalities and power. Give a little effort. All right, listen up. All right, listen to it. He says, add to knowledge temperance. Temperance. Temperance means restraint, self-control. That's what that means. And I tell you what, knowledge, when you enter into something, real knowledge, taking a real stock of things, I'll do that or not. You understand? You understand? Knowledge will beget temperance. Let me see if I can't illustrate this. Most people in this world just go after anything. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, go after it. Just gratify the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Now, Eve did not take knowledge, did she? Didn't stop and consider, did she? She wasn't aware. She wasn't very aware of things. You understand what I'm saying here? Temperance is self-control, restraint. And now listen to this. Real knowledge will temper what you do. Now, I don't know if I ought to do that or not. Maybe I'm not. That's not right, the right thing to do. Real knowledge will temper what you say. Considering who you're dealing with, situation, it'll restrain. Real knowledge will restrain your tongue. Why should I waste words on that fool? Huh? It's just a waste of breath. A waste of time to get mad. Real knowledge will restrain your actions. Real knowledge will restrain your indulgences, your passions, wildfire, excess. Listen to this. Knowledge of human nature will temper your anger. Peter said to men, I better handle this carefully. Peter said, dwell with women according to knowledge, considering them as the weaker vessel. I wish I hadn't brought this up. But by that he means, dwell with them according to knowledge. Consider everything about her as a woman. Consider, as a result of the fall, she is more prone to various things. For instance, certain times of the month, she's going to act like a monster. It's just the way it is. Consider that. And on the other hand, women, consider men. In other words, and consider who you're dealing with. It's like we deal with children as children, don't we? Let me get a little, even a little baser than that. Dogs. Why do dogs do what they do? Which is all kind of stuff. They get into everything. Because they're dogs. Now, that'll temper you. If you stop and take stock. See, if a dog starts chewing on something, you know, and you don't act like a monster. Act like a human being. Understand, why is he doing that? Because he's a dog. Aren't you glad our Lord knows our frame and deals with us accordingly? Huh? And we're supposed to deal with one another, and especially lost people. I need this, Stan. Like what they are. Take knowledge that these people are just blind. They're just blind. Well, can't you see? Well, no. They can't. What's wrong with you? Well, he's dead. That's what's wrong. That's what bad wrong. And so where were you? I'm just certain that people used to look at me and say, what's wrong with him? Why is he acting like that? Because he's dead. Why did she get mad at me? Why is she talking to me like that? Because she's a human. That's human. That's nature. That's old man. Knowledge will temper. You understand that? Knowledge ought to temper us. Ought to control our temper. Ever think about where that word came from? Temper. Peter said, put away wrath, anger, malice. Didn't he? Take knowledge of that you're dealing with a fellow human being that's prone to anything. Because in just a few hours, you're going to act just like they did. And you're going to hope they deal with you in mercy and grace. Right? See, knowledge. Is that coming across, Amy? I'm trying my best. The knowledge ought to temper us. Add to your knowledge. You have your eyes wide open. Discern the situation. Who you're dealing with, so forth. And add to that temperance. Self-control. And knowledge of the world and things around you ought to temper our indulgence, our passions and all that. Oh, man, I got to have that. Wait a minute. Take stock. Don't just absolutely go and let your passions get the best of you. Stop and think. Think. Joseph says, what will happen to me if I give in? David didn't stop and think, did he? Knowledge. Temperance. You understand that? Oh, I got to have that. Got to have that. No, you don't either. No, we don't either. All right, look at the next thing. Add to your knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. See, temperance will beget patience. The temper, self-control, self-restraint. Now, where is it? Now, where do we begin? Huh? Without me, you can do nothing now. No, we don't ever get away from that, from Him. He said, without me, you can't do anything. You can't add to your faith and virtue. You'll be a sniveling, like Peter, a sniveling wimp before a little girl without me and your own strength. But if you ask me, you'll be crucified for me. See that, John? If you ask me, I'll give you the courage to give your head cut off, for my sake. And knowledge, we won't know what we're getting into if we just run ahead. But if we ask Him, He giveth liberally. We'll have our eyes wide open. Temperance, can you control one passion? Can we control one passion? Just by gritting your teeth. Strength of sin is a law. But you're not under the law. You're under grace, He said. Just ask. Help. A very present help. Time of trouble. Add to your temperance patience. Patience. Patience, or restraint, teaches us to wait. Restraint teaches us to wait. And after we wait, Stan, we'll see. Whew, glad I waited. You understand that? After we wait, as the Lord gives us the grace of patience, we'll see. Boy, I'm glad I didn't dive into that. How many times have we? And wishing we'd wait. Wishing we'd wait. I need this. I told you need this. I need this. Everyone in this world jumping on the bandwagon, aren't they? Whatever is on the wagon, they jump on it, don't they? Whatever comes along, the world, let's go, boys. No, let's wait, boys. Know this for a fact. Whatever the world is headed after, we'd better hightail it the other direction. Right? And if you just wait and see, we'll see everybody falling off the wagon. You know what? Whatever the world goes, this is it, man. We found it. This is, oh, you got to have this, man. This is the way it is. We've got, just wait. It'll be brought to nothing. Y2K, you better get ready. Get ready. Are you ready? Let's just wait. The Lord didn't tell us to get ready for Y2K. Did he? Here it comes. There it goes. Huh? Now listen to me right now. Listen to this. Jerry Falwell. And this is the last time I mention that dude's name. I remember I promised never to mention that other fellow from North Carolina. I'm not going to. It's a waste of breath. Falwell told people to start stocking water and guns and all that stuff. Now, Scripture says, if a man calls himself a prophet and he tells you to do something and it doesn't come to pass, you know what he's called? A false prophet. And so you're not to believe another thing he says ever again. Zero. You know how you know a true prophet? Because whatever he says, it comes to pass. True men of God don't make claims and don't say we'll be better this, better that, anything other than what God tells us. Is that too hard, too strong? It's just so. It's just so. Patient. So while everybody know this for a fact, if the world thinks we ought to do it, we ought not do it. Don't do it. The world thinks we ought to go in this direction, go the other. The world thinks we ought to jump, stand. The world that says go, we say stop, wait, patient. Look at the next thing, godliness. Add to your patience godliness. I told one of the brethren that I've heard this term used by these self-righteous, pious Pharisees, and it almost made the word, almost made me not like the word godliness. Have you heard? But the Scriptures now tells us to be godly. That's used a lot in Scripture. You know that, Joe? Godliness is used a great deal. And just because these fools abuse God's Word doesn't mean I'm to throw it out. Like the term Christian. Man, this generation has made that just a... But that's a glorious type. Christian. He says, add to your patience godliness. Godliness. Now, what is godliness? Well, God... No, this is vital. God was manifest in the flesh. God became a man. And for a man, godliness is for a man to act like God. Understand that? God became a man. How did He act? Godly. Not fleshly. God became a man. In other words, and Romans 8 deals with this, to be carnally minded, he says, is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Christ's body didn't rule him. His body didn't rule him. Godly. Does that make sense? He didn't live to gratify his body. Dogs do that, don't they? Dogs do that. He was godly. That's what godliness meant. Fleshly means carnal, like a beast. Godly means spiritual. Godliness is this: let this mind be in you. Paul said. He said, set your affection on things above. That's godliness. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, been called to glory and to virtue, not base and this meanness. I need this. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, things that are real, things that are lasting. Paul said this of some people, have a form of godliness. Or was that Peter? Have a form of godliness. Is that Peter? I think it was. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power there. In other words, there's some people, there's a bunch of people out there in the world who profess to be believers. Yet they're scared to death of Y2K. They're stockpiling arms. Well, that's a form of godliness, but without the power of it. Our Lord said, lay down your arms. Turn your cheek. If they come in to get your coat, give me a cloak too. I'll give you another coat. Where'd you get that one anyway? He didn't say stockpile. He said, sell what you have. Didn't he? He didn't say, better get bags full of bread. He said, cast it on the water. There's some people out there who have a form of godliness. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, but you better not come near my house. That's denying the power thereof. Our God's on the throne.
Bear can't eat that. Can't drink that. Well, your God's a weakling, isn't he?
You see what he's saying? Godliness. Christ, he said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Just go out in the draft. Not caring what the world thought about him. Above that. That's what godliness means. Above caring about what people think about you. I thought you was a Christian. You know, Joe, that's what they said about the Son of God. They mocked the Son of God. I thought you was a Christian. Paul, you remember when Paul in the end, he said, from henceforth let no man bother me. Remember that saying? Why should I be bothered by worms? Add to your patience godliness. Brotherly kindness. Look at that. Brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. There's not much kindness out in the world, is there? Where are you going to get some? We better have some to give out when people come in here. You know what it means to quench the Spirit? Paul said, quench not the Spirit. You know what that means? Spirit is present. Spirit gives peace and love, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Spirit present where Christ, two or three are gathered. The Holy Spirit gives fellowship, joy, and peace, and love. And it's for somebody to come in all down the mouth, all moody and all sourpuss and all that to quench the Spirit. You come in, oh, I can't wait to hear from the Lord. And you look at that person, how are you? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And it brings, that's quenching the Spirit. If we can't find an encouraging word, don't say anything. Brotherly kindness. We're not going to find it out there in the world. If we come in here, we need to find it. So brotherly kindness. We need to find some kindness. The world's dog-eat-dog. You go to work tomorrow, it's dog-eat-dog. Kingdom of God is brother helping brother. World is love yourself. Kingdom of God is love your brethren. The world says demand your rights. Demand your rights. Kingdom of God says forfeit your rights. Look on the things of others. Don't come in here complaining. And you don't share a word of complaining, ask somebody else how they're doing. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I've taken my father's advice. He told us young preachers years ago, he said, you ought to read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. One of the chief points in that book, and don't frown at this. And we're talking about a man with 50 years experience who has, do you like him? Is he a nice man? Do you like him? He's learned something, hasn't he? Well, he read the book. And the one principal point in that book is to be interested in other people. Don't be talking about yourself. Don't be just interested in self. Don't I, me, say how you. Don't be interested in yourself. And the man goes on and say, if you live for yourself, you'll be the most miserable person on earth. Not to mention, you'll be alone. Nobody wants to be around somebody that's only interested in themselves. Right?
be genuine and ask interest in other people. How are you? Good to see you. Can I do anything for you? Well, thank you. Fine, thank you. No. Not, oh, woe is me, but how are you? Isn't that good advice? That's the principal thought in that book. But I know where that came from. It came from God's Word. Let's look on things of others. Who said that? Paul, sitting in prison. Paul said, I don't need anything. What do you need? You love Paul? How to win friends and influence people. How to win friends? Be a friend. Scripture says. Nobody has me over. You keep having people over, I guarantee you somebody will have you over. Guarantee it. Be nice. Smile. I guarantee you, you'll get a smile back. Brotherly kindness. Be kind. You'll receive some kindness. This is exactly what our Lord said. He said, if you want mercy, you're going to have to be merciful. Didn't it? If I want forgiveness, I'm going to have to forgive. How much forgiveness do we need from God? How much? Well, Peter said, well, Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother? Seven times? If my brother treats me mean, now remember, he's flesh. And you're flesh, and you act mean too. You're going to need some forgiveness. But if my brother treats me mean, how often do I have to forgive? Seven times? Peter thought he was being real, real liberal, Dan. Seven times? What did the Lord say? 70 times 7. Well, that's just a finite number, meaning you don't ever quit forgiving. Because when do we need, when are we going to stop needing mercy?